Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Azad Engineering Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by ICICI Securities. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Manuja. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome all the participants for Azad Engineering's Q4 FY24 conference call. At the outset, I would like to thank the management for giving us an opportunity to host this call. From the management today, we have with us Mr. Rakesh Chopra, Chairman and CEO, Mr. Vishnu Malpani, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Ronald Jaju, Chief Financial Officer. We will have brief opening remarks from the management, post which we will open the floor for an interactive Q&A. Without much ado, I would hand over the call to Mr. Chopra to take this forward. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Amit. Good morning, everyone. This is Rakesh Chopra, Chairman and CEO at Azad. I welcome and thanks for joining today on the annual earnings call. On this call, we are joined by Mr. Vishnu Malpani, Whole-time Director, Mr. Ronald Jaju, our CFO, and the team SGA, our investor relations advisors. The results and presentations are uploaded on the stock exchange and the company website. I hope everybody has had a chance to look at it. I wish to update on a few points on the IPO success and our financial performance. So this year, we embarked on a monumental journey with the successful completion of our IPO. This milestone was meticulously planned and executed at the perfect moment after years of preparation. I'd also like to take this opportunity to give you a quick overview of our financial performance, which will be covered in detail by my colleagues later in the call. Our dedication and hard work are now bearing fruits, and I'm thrilled to share that we have achieved our best-ever performance, both quarterly and annually, with a top line of 340.7 crores in FY24 and rupees 92.8 crores in Q4 FY24. The initial plan for FY24 and FY25, the growth trajectory plan was around 25%-30%, and I'm happy to share that FY24 plan has been achieved, and we are on track to achieve the FY25 numbers with a growth of 25%-30% in the top line within our existing facility. The last leg of growth, the next leg of the growth, will come through our upcoming facility from FY26. Talking on the business vertical, on the energy sector achievements, as you all are aware, our new manufacturing facility in Hyderabad, which will be 10 times the capacity of our existing facility, is under construction and development. We are building dedicated factories for our key clients within our boundary. The first factory's foundation stone was laid by Mitsubishi Heavy Industries team, and now we have more customers wanting to block capacity with us by requesting for an exclusive dedicated unit individually. In the meantime, we are running with full or almost no capacity, and we will do as usual business and are eagerly waiting for capacity expansion in our new facility for the next level of growth from FY26. A significant highlight in the energy vertical was the foundation stone laying of our new lean manufacturing facility. It was an honor to have the Global President and CEO of GE Vernova Steam Power to facilitate this event. This facility represents a major step forward in our growth within the energy sector and demonstrates Azad's strategic importance in the global supply chain, and the demand can be seen through the executed long-term contracts. Along with the above development, we secured a notable contract from GE Vernova's steam power business. The phase one of the program valued was around $35 million for over 7 years for the supply of high complex rotating airfoils for the nuclear industrial thermal power industries. We have signed another MOU for phase two. This large order underscores the scalability of Azad's business and our strong relationship with GE Vernova. Aerospace defense milestones, I would just like to, mention on the aerospace defense sector. We achieved a significant milestone by securing a 7-year contract from Rolls-Royce for the defense and the military aircraft engines, as mentioned in our previous call. It's important to understand that a contract with Rolls-Royce extends beyond the contract value. This partnership opens a big door of opportunities and potential for us, marking the beginning of a long-term relationship with vast potential. In the coming years, by capturing more engine programs, very soon we can anticipate such programs from the commercial civil aircraft engine as well. Additionally, we have signed key strategic nation-wide contracts, demonstrating our commitments to contribute to national projects of importance and reinforcing our position as key industry player in aerospace and defense. For the oil and gas sectors, in the oil and gas sector, we have achieved substantial success with 2 major contracts from Baker Hughes. These contracts are expected to generate significant business value over the next 5 years. These orders not only enhance our current revenue stream, but also positions us well for future opportunities in this vertical. Venturing into this sector was part of our diversification strategy, and I'm happy to share that we are on track to achieve this goal. Most important, the infrastructure and capacity expansion. This point is very, very important for everyone to understand. Now, let me take a moment to update you all on the infrastructure and capacity expansion efforts, which were key point during our IPO. We made ambitious promises, and I'm proud to report that we have not only met but exceeded those commitments. The foundation stone of the new lean manufacturing facility at the Tunikipularam IP Hyderabad is just the beginning. The state-of-art facility will include dedicated factories within the larger factory, tailored specially for our customers. Phase one is progressing well, aligning with our strategic vision for long-term growth. Our investment in infrastructure and capacities enhance our production capabilities and strengthen our ability to meet the increasing demand across our diverse business verticals. This expansion is crucial as we build a robust order book, providing clear visibility into our future revenue streams. The order book has increased significantly from approximately 1,800 to 2,000 crores, which was in March 23, and today it's 3,000 plus crores as on March 24. Hence, the upcoming facilities is of critical importance for the next level of growth. On the capability expansion, I'm excited to announce that we are expanding our capabilities through a strategic acquisition. We have integrated a special process and coating company in our portfolio by acquiring the assets of VTC Substrate Technologies. This has led to a formation of new subsidy around VTC, which will now cater to our captive special process and coating requirements, as well as the global demand from other OEMs and suppliers. This is the first of its kind for Azad, and we are thrilled about the potential this development holds, as this capability strengthens our supply chain and reduces dependability. This move, Azad, has given a lot of comfort and confidence to our customers on their timely delivery. Over on the business performance and future outlook since inception of 16 years ago, Azad Engineering has made tremendous strides across all sectors. Our relentless pursuit of excellence has positioned us as leaders in the industry with a solid portfolio of high complex components meeting stringent precision requirements. We have grown sustainably from 122 crores in FY21 to 340 crores in FY24, representing 2.8x in 3 years at a CAGR of 41% in top line. Similarly, from PAT of 11.5 crores in FY21 to 58.6 crores in FY24, representing a 5x in 3 years at a CAGR of 72.1%. Our growing business is supported by a solid order book of over 3,000 crores plus, providing clear visibility into future revenue streams. The strength of our balance sheet, bolstered by the IPO, has enabled us significantly improved profitability. During the years, we delivered revenue growth of 35% with a six-fold jump in the PAT. This quarter's results reflect our strong financial performance, with ample room for further margin improvement. On a long-term basis, our EBITDA is expected to be in the range of 33-35%, depending on the product revenue mix. In conclusion, the journey of Azad is one of presence, innovation, and growth. We remain committed to delivering exceptional value to all the stakeholders, and I'm confident that the best is yet to come. Thank you, and I hand over to Mr. Vishnu Walpani, our whole-time director, to take this conversation further.
Thank you, Mr. Chopra, and we welcome everyone for this earnings call, for annual earnings call. I want to begin by giving you a quick recap of our product portfolio. It is a basket of very niche project and life-critical products. Broadly speaking, the market for our key products is highly regulated and has a TAM of over $28 billion. With a wallet share of below 1% of this TAM, there is a lot of scope for us to grow further. Our recent order wins that Mr. Chopra spoke about are a reflection of Azad's readiness to grab a larger piece of this TAM in every sector that we are operating in, whether it's power generation, aerospace and defense, or oil and gas. As a result of our continuous business growth, our product mix is evolving as well. And you can see that with the diversification amongst our business verticals. Energy segment, where we had a head start, contributed to 72% of our revenues in Q4 24. Whereas aerospace and defense segment, which has delivered significant growth this year, contributed to about 16% of our top line in total. Starting Q4 24, we are seeing some revenues coming in the oil and gas sector as well. During the fourth quarter, this contributed to about 5% of our top line. This is just the beginning of Azad in both aerospace, defense, and oil and gas sectors. We are confident that we have built in our business the momentum, and we will continue to deliver 25-30% revenue growth annually over the next few years sustainably. We have a robust pipeline of products under discussion for which qualifications and approvals are awaited. The pipeline continues to add our order book and revenues on a regular basis. With the shift in our business mix, we anticipate an improvement both in our working capital and as well as ROCs. Further, following the IPO, our balance sheet has strengthened significantly, and this has helped us to reduce our finance cost largely. Our finance cost, which was 47.3 crores in FY24, is expected to come down drastically in FY25. Going forward, the total interest cost would be to the tune of approximately 3 crores a quarter, which is in line with our Q4 recurring finance cost. This would be a fair representation of our financial performance going forward, both in terms of profitability and returns profile. Now I hand over the call to Mr. Ronak Jaju to talk further about our financial performance. Ronak, over to you.
Thank you, Vishnu. Firstly, let me talk about consolidated financial highlights for the full year. Revenue from operations grew by 35% to 340, which is ever our highest performance annually in our company. As explained by Vishnu, this was led by substantial growth in the energy and oil and gas segment, which increased to 285 crore in FY24 to 219 crore in FY23, thereby increasing 30% year-on-year basis. The aerospace and defense segment recorded a robust growth of 95% in FY24. The revenue increased from 23 crore in FY23 to 44 crore in FY24. During the year, our EBITDA margin has expanded on account of operating leverage and process efficiency, resulting in adjusted EBITDA margin improved from 31.6% in FY23 to 34.3% in FY24, and this is the highest level of EBITDA margin we have achieved during our history. Going forward, we continue to maintain healthy EBITDA margins in the range of 33-35%. We are working on various initiatives such as local sourcing, as I have told you last time, process improvement, further qualifications of new products, especially in aerospace and the oil and gas segment, where we have recently signed a long-term contract with the global OEMs. with our investment towards the special process into the Azad BTC Private Limited, which we have announced recently, which will help to reduce the job work charges from H2 FY25 and onwards. And also it will help us to smoothline our logistics, because whenever we send the part outside for job work, it takes a logistic hassle. The company had reduced its debt significantly during the year, and I am glad to share that in quarter 3 FY24, our past CCD investor named Piramal has converted their CCDs into equity worth 160 crore. Further utilizing the IPO profit and internal accrual, we have redeemed our term loan to the tune of 72 crore till date in FY24. As a result of our total finance cost for the year, includes rupees 29 crore of non-recurring cost toward interest and on CCDs and the one-time effect of INDS on term loan closures where we have short closed the loans. The non-recurring interest cost is largely extended, is neutralized by one-time income of 27 crore pertaining to sales of the free, sales of land, INDS impact of loan and loan closure. A large portion of these non-recurring items is coming in quarter 3 FY24 numbers. I am glad to share that adjusted PBT, excluding the impact of these non-recurring items, grew by 68.7% to rupees 83 crore during the year. Our tax for the year stood at 59 crore with 17.2% margin. We expect tax margin to improve from H2 of FY25 onward on account of lower finance costs and improving our efficiency. Looking at the quarterly number, revenue stood at 93 crore, which is a 9% growth on year-on-year basis. This growth is led by strong sales in both energy and aerospace segments. The consumption has slightly increased from 12.5% to 17% due to change in product mix and revenue mix. Employee cost has decreased during the quarter, as I mentioned last quarter also, that we are working on various initiatives, and this has decreased by 2.17 in quarter 4 compared to quarter 3 FY24. Operating expenses was in line with the business. During the quarter, EBITDA stood at EBITDA stood at 31 crore with 33.8% margin. Depreciation has slightly increased as we have done CapEx during the year, which resulting into increasing sales and capacity. Tax for the quarter stood at 15 crore with 16% margin, which is our long-term ambitious, and we try to improve it further during the quarter. With this, I conclude our presentation and open the floor for question and answer. Happy to be.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bala Murli Krishna from Oman Investment Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I hope I am audible.
Yes, you can be a bit louder, please.
First of all, I have two bookkeeping questions for this non-recurring finance cost. So when we can expect it to be zero, and one more thing is the receivable side. I think the receivables are almost at 50% of the FY24 revenue. So is it a normal scenario, or do we have any one-off for this kind of trade receivables in this quarter?
Yeah. So one-time income has already been finished because we have repaid all the CCDs and there is no Piramal interest going forward. Going forward, you see the normalized finance cost from quarter one onwards, and the same is also reflecting in this quarter. Coming to the receivable part, we have a normal cycle of around 120 to 150 days credit to our customers. And if you see, we have done almost around 180 crore of sales in H2. That's what reflecting into our receivable. Hope I am clear.
Okay, understood. Yeah. And second, and this deals which we have on with Rolls-Royce and two more deals. And one deal we have disclosed the contract value. And the remaining three deals we don't know, but on a broad basis, what could be the potential of these three deals? We have in this last deal, we have around 300 crores potential. So what would be the any combined revenue potential of the three deals which we have won since January?
So I'd like to say that, you know, during the call, Mr. Chopra briefed that, you know, our total order book is upwards of over, you know, close to about 3,000 plus crores. So if that is what you're asking, so all of these contracts put together that we're signing with our customers have a total cumulative value of over 3,000 crores. Now, these contracts have to be executed over 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, or 10 years, depending on the duration of the contract. These are long-term contracts.
Okay, understood. So, and in whether we are in developing any new products to grab more wallet share of the existing customers, can you throw some light on that? And lastly, on this new facility, when we can expect it to be on the commission stage?
Yeah. So, as we mentioned, let's take an example of Rolls-Royce. Now, Rolls-Royce is one of the key customers to us. And we are very proud to say that we got this very critical components of engine to India, right? And if you see, there are two aspects in this. One, getting the foot in the door, right? So there are so many engines being manufactured by Rolls-Royce in the military application, defense applications. So we got a chance for the first to enter in the engine programs. Now, the example, just giving an example of, say, the example, they've got 10 engines and they've given us two engines to participate and start the production cycle of that, development and production. So as we develop, as we produce, the doors got open for 10, not for 2. So if you see it and look at a longer picture, it is very, very good to see it for the longer picture, not just for this one contract. There are many more which are in the pipeline. Then comes the civil, the commercial aircraft engines. So this is a step, first step which got our foot in the door. That was the most important. And now it is all that we start producing parts and the qualification goes on, and you can see the revenue coming from FY25 from this, and the new facility which is coming up, which we are anticipating to get the FY26 revenues out of it.
Okay, understood. Lastly, on this Baker Hughes, they are our existing customer or they are new customer to us?
So, see, in oil and gas, as we connected in 2020, we were, you know, trying to build this as a diversification. And again, there are very critical parts in the oil and gas divisions, right? The facility what we have, the equipment what we have, very fungible, and we just picked up the parts which are you know, required as a very high specialized components. So, in oil and gas also, we found that there are certain components which are very high critical in application, and this facility can be utilized the best way to produce those parts. So it was a strategic call of picking up Baker Hughes for coming up, and as we entered with them, the audit cleared and all the leadership meeting happened, and then we entered in a very long-term agreement. So it was a strategic call. It was very well planned.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the queue, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we will request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kamlesh Jain from Lotus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, congrats for the excellent performance on financial year. And so just one question on the part of the order book. So for how long or for what period this order book is executable, like say over next 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah. So major, if you see, it can be from 3, 5 to 7 maximum. These are the years which we sign up these order books. And this, as I mentioned in the previous question also, as we are just adding up that. Now, as I told you in Rolls-Royce, we got two engine programs. We can expect another 6 or 8 or 10 engine programs. So these are certain things we are blocking the capacity with these contracts.
And sir, like how much would be the CapEx we would be spending like over the next 4, 5 years? Because spending on CapEx would result in this revenue getting or order book getting executed. And as you have mentioned earlier as well that you have a 2x asset turns. So how much CapEx would be doing for next 5 years?
For this year, we have planned to deploy 120 crores. Okay? As these equipment are very specialized, right? As we all know that we are into very specialized thing. We have deployed the proceeds of IPOs, from the first quarter of this year. So as I mentioned earlier also, the FY 2024-25 was very well planned that we will have a 25-30% growth these 2 years, which we have successfully picked up 24 and on track of 25. Now, whatever the CapEx which has planned is for the, it will be incremental from FY 26. So this CapEx, if you see the effect, it will come from FY 26 from the new facility.
But like say, as we want to reach like 4,000 odd crore top line in like say next 5 years, then we need to spend roughly around incremental, like say roughly around 1,800 odd crore CapEx. So are we on that path? If we want to achieve incremental turnover of 3,600 crore over the next 5 years,
yes,
we need to spend roughly around 1,800 crore CapEx. So how that?
No, not necessary. Not necessary, Mr. Kamlesh. That depends on the product mix. That depends on the product mix. So what we have done is whatever the orders and contracts we have committed and we have taken and we have already committed to our customers, these CapEx is planned only specific to the contracts what we already have it. Right? This is nothing called future. Whatever we have signed up, whatever orders we have, the CapEx is very well planned for that particular thing. As and when the product mix changes, as and when we go and see, like we are into military and defense now. In commercial aspects, we will have a different kind of investments. Then if you go in oil and gas, there's a different kind of investment. So we are well diversified and we try to take the most advantage of the facility what we have, which can cater to all the 3, 4 segments which we are in. We are not depending on one particular. The whole facility doesn't depend only on one particular, vertical. All the four can be, this facility can utilize all the four verticals. So that was the original plan.
Great, sir, and best of luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, you mentioned that the new facility, expanded facility, which is like a 10x in terms of manufacturing capacity compared to what currently will operation in FY 26. So FY 26 could be the year when it will start contributing, or is it FY 27 when the contribution will come?
Sir, thank you for your question. Sir, from day one, we have been, past when we, I remember, I recollect my, the days when we started, that FY 24 and FY 25, what existing capacity we have with a growth of 25-30% per annum, that is what we have projected. And all this planning and the proceeds what we are utilizing is incremental from FY 26. And if we have got into 10x, if you look at the order book, this is, we have it as on date, right? And there are many more which are lined up. There are many more, as I mentioned, from defense, we are going into civil, we are going to commercial, we are going in, many directions. So the growth is very big, massive. So to cater that, then we have a plan, because factories cannot be built, now and then. When we have already visualized a 10x size, so there is a basis behind it why we have chosen to go 10x. So the incremental will come from FY 26.
And sir, what would be the current capacity utilization of existing facility?
it's around 80 to 85%.
Okay, so still we are expecting 25% growth in FY25.
Yes. This was the plan from day one. This was the plan from FY24. We had a thing that we will grow 25-30, but you know, luckily we grew 35. The same thing with FY25, we are on track.
So FY26 and 27 could be quantum year for us in terms of.
Yes, you can see a big. I think you can notice a shift and a movement. I could say that from FY26.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations team for the good set of numbers. So I just want to understand what is composition of the order book. How much is it from the aerospace and defense, and how much is from power, and how much is from oil and gas?
Yeah, so I can give you some tentative numbers, right? And I can just a minute. I'll just open the page. If you notice, we have around oil and gas and energy. If I club this both, that's amounting to around 1500 crores, okay. And around 1700 crores from the aerospace and defense. These are all signed. Hello, am I audible?
The participant got disconnected. Next question is from the line of Parshil Gandhi from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead. Parshil, please go ahead.
Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sir, just one question from my end. So on the segment-wise basis, could you give a bit more color to your revenue guidance? We have guided for a 25-30% growth, but could you give a segment-wise guidance on how you are seeing growth in each segment?
Yeah, so, okay. Happy to do that. So, so overall, as a business, like Mr. Chopra was saying, when we... So you would have seen that, you know, we've grown from about 122 crores in FY21 to about 340 crores in FY24, right? So this has been the growth. Now we anticipate the blended growth for the business is going to be 25 to 30% even this year, right? But if you look at each of our segments, so energy business will continue to grow at 25 to 30%. Aerospace also has a larger growth, but you can assume that it will grow at least about 35 to 40%. Oil and gas, because the base is smaller, it would potentially go 2x or 3x also.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Shah from DR Choksi FinServ Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm audible?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You'll have to be slightly louder, please.
Yeah, sure. So first of all, congrats on the good set of numbers for FY24. My first question on the inventory side. So can we share the breakup? You have 132 crore worth of in closing inventory. So how much would be your raw material, work in progress and finished goods?
Yeah, sure. So I will take. So you have to understand this inventory into two parts. One is the aero inventory, as you mentioned, that this is for the long term, where we are using this particular inventory for the A part, where we have to order the minimum order quantity and this has to be kept for longer period of time. And to be very precise on your question, we have raw material to the tune of around 52 to 53 crores, work in progress to the tune of 61 crores, and balance are other consumables and space inventory to the tune of around 15-16 crores. And also we have signed long-term contract with the GE this year, as we have mentioned in our press release. So we are keeping some stock for those particular contracts. That's why the inventory is looking slightly higher at the end of March end.
Okay, okay. So, sir, what I was trying to understand out of it, so for the qualification stage, as you said, you need to keep a lot of inventory. So How much out of this would be for the qualification?
Total it will be around 35 crore, roughly 30 to 35 crore number you can take for the qualification first.
35 crore. Yeah. Okay. And the second question is, in earlier calls, you alluded to the fact that we are targeting for indigenization of raw materials to normalize the working capital to much more better numbers. So what is the progress on that?
So we have done quite a good progress in quarter four of this year, where we have got two of our key raw materials qualified with the Indian partner, and we are on the track, and probably in FY25 and FY26 you will see the impact on the inventory side, because whatever we have to purchase, we have already placed order based on the previous POs and previous order book, and the further incremental purchase what we do, we start from FY25 onwards. Because they have just got qualified and we can't place order right now because we have already placed on the existing supplier as the lead time for these inventories are a bit higher.
Okay. And one last thing from my end, sir. So you have delivered in a recent year 35% odd growth in FY24. We are talking 25-30% sustainably for the next few years, right? And we have 3,000 crore order book. And when we look at your balance sheet, specifically on the trade payable side, we have seen those numbers going down. So creditor days are kind of going down. So when we are targeting this kind of growth, on the other side, our creditor days going down and debtor days are also kind of elevated. So will we be able to sustain a deep level of debt levels that we hold right now, or we might resort to higher level of debt going ahead to manage the working capital?
No, I think, Vishnu here, I'm just trying to understand. I think the number of trade payables or the number that you're sharing, can you just expand on that, because we didn't quite catch that.
So if we see your base payable on FY22 was 576, and for FY24 it's around 396, right? So as an effect, if you compare with comps, then your cash conversion cycle is going up for FY24. So how we are going to manage this? Is there any change with the creditor days or creditor terms that we are getting less number of days as far as this thing is concerned from the suppliers? So that's why I was trying to understand how it will impact us to manage the working capital for FY25 and FY26. How does it work? If you can share some color.
Yeah, so if you see my treasury today, it's around 70 crore plus in my balance sheet, and we have enough cushion available to manage the FY25 numbers. And for FY26, as we mentioned, that we already have a proceeds from IPO, plus we can take the additional working capital lines from the bank, as my current debt is close to what working capital debt is zero, and there is a term debt hardly of around 25 to 30 crores in my books at this mention of time. So we have a sufficient cushion available for the growth, and that should not be a problem for us going forward.
Okay, and
I will request you to rejoin the queue for your follow-up.
Sure, fine, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we will request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Vishal Singh from Makrana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, this is Nikki here, not Vishal. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I specifically had two questions, guys. So number one, assuming in fiscal 25 you grow at 30%, and I clearly remember you had said that for you fiscal 24-25 was the year where capacity is going to be constrained. So given that you were at 340 odd crores for fiscal 24, I slap in one like 30%, that gets you for fiscal year 25 at approximately 445 crores. Given that we are long-term investors and you mentioned that starting fiscal year 26 will be the inflection point, I mean, what kind of revenues are you guys projecting for fiscal year 26 to demonstrate that it is really an inflection point from a revenue perspective? That's my first question.
Yeah, Mickey, I think you're right, and thanks for the question. And we, right from day one, we have been saying 24-25 is been very well planned, and we have achieved FY24 as per the plan and on track for FY25. So we are quite happy with what we have planned, we achieved in FY24, and we'll be achieving in FY25. There are no constraints in that. Now, if you see that we are deploying around 120 crores this year, and this is incremental to whatever we are doing for FY25, this will be seen from FY26. So this is a continuous process. As you notice that these machines, equipment, they are not on the shelf, right? They have certain delivery times, and it will come in phased manner. And you can see the deployment of these revenues. We can, if you and take you more in detail, if you try to see the asset turn, what we have been talking, and we based on the asset turn, more and more equipment as quickly as possible we try to get in the facility. You know, today we have massive order book, we have massive customer base, and we are really coming up in a very, very great show. You could see April 24th, the president and CEO of GE Vernova coming in, blocking the capacity. That gives a big, big gesture to our business and to India. That she came in all the way, did the ceremony, flew back in 6 hours. That means they want us to raise this facility as soon as possible. Now it depends on various factors on the equipment. Now these equipment are majorly imported, right? And we have a long-term deliveries. So we are now very, very desperate to get this capacity up and running as we have to execute and deliver these contracts. So it is that quickly, the more quickly the equipment comes in, more performance you can see in this case.
And then my second question is, like, just from a quarterly perspective, how does one, like, I know you guys think about from a yearly perspective, but listen, you are a public company now. So, like, from a quarterly perspective, in terms of your revenue and numbers, like, how should one project this? Is there seasonality? There's no seasonality. Obviously, there has been a little bit slowdown in your Q3 to Q4. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, from a public company now that you have to give out quarterly results, how should one, factor the growth in?
So thanks, Mickey, for the question. Vishnu here. I'd like to say that, first of all, in our business, there's no seasonality. I think this might be arising, this question probably I'm guessing might be arising out of, a smaller growth that you would have seen from FY23 Q4 to, FY24 Q4. But I would like to clarify that, when we are looking at, say, a 9% growth from FY23 Q4 to this year, there was, the base that was taken, the base quarter, if you look at our 4 quarters for last financial year, we were doing on an average of about 55 crores in quarter one, quarter two, quarter three. While we were able to add some capacity last year, the quarter's actual capacity was closer to 75 crores, but because some deliveries had pushed to Q4, the quarter had become elevated to about 84 crores. If you normalize it, it should have been about 70 crores for FY23 Q4. Now, when you compare ourselves from a 70 crore normalized quarter from last year to, say, a 92 crores of quarter, you will be able to see a growth that we have been talking about, which is about 30%, right? So that is one. So the elevated base, which wasn't normalized for last year, is actually leading to this, wrong growth number that is coming out. But ideally, it is about 70 crores for last year's quarter and about 92, which is about 30% growth. However, the other thing that I want to say is, quarter on quarter in our business, there are sometimes shipments based on the customer's requirements are either pulled or pushed out, right? So that's why when you're evaluating our business, I would say that you look at a longer period, maybe club 2 quarters or look at a longer horizon, because we are constantly growing at this rate, and that's why it's important. So we have zero seasonality, and the elevated base of last year would have led to, say, optical smaller growth. But if you have to evaluate for us for FY24, I would recommend that look at FY24 over, say, the next 2 quarters. Maybe you can look at the June quarter and the next quarter put together to see how we are able to grow at this rate. I'm able to answer.
No, absolutely. And just one last question from a margin perspective. Obviously, there has been some variability. So both at a gross margin level and at an EBITDA margin level, like what is the band that we should be factoring in for fiscal year 25 and 26?
I wouldn't say that there has been a lot of variability in our business. I think for us, the change in the variability is because of the product or the revenue mix, right? Whenever there is, but even if the product and the revenue mix changes, the range would be anywhere between 33% to 36% to 37%. That's it. So this is the only range that our EBITDA margin is going to be at, and our gross margin, despite the change in revenue mix, etc., will always be between 82% to 86%.
Another one point I would like to add here, Mickey, is these numbers what we are telling you is like we already signed the contract, so these numbers are already secured. All the value order book what we have taken is all secured. So that's one big advantage.
These numbers also include of fiscal year 26 and beyond, which is the inflection point, correct?
All the order book what we have in hand. We have a strategy, we follow the same for everyone, right? So all the order book signed has this number.
So, I'd just like to expand this a little further. So if you look at it from FY21, right, our EBITDA margin was closer to 30%. If you look at this year, we've delivered one of the highest ever EBITDA margins for us in the year. You know, we were internally projecting, we were targeting about 110 crores, but we've been able to deliver about 117 crores, you know, which is over delivery on what, because of certain, margin expansion that has happened on operating leverage that we were able to get. If you look at our revenue numbers also, you know, our internal target was to hit 340 and we were successfully able to do it. Now we are on to, along with the revenue numbers, I think one of the important things that we should all be focusing on is, okay, while we've hit our numbers and we've met our targets, there are a lot of qualitative developments that have happened in the business. We've placed our foot in Rolls-Royce, we've signed 2 additional contracts with Baker Hughes, you know, we are doing strategic defense contracts. There is a lot of improvement. We've done an acquisition for, you know, Azad VTC, which will improve our margins further. So there is a lot of developments that, you know, are probably not visible in the numbers that have been showcased, but there's a lot of work that has happened in this year, which should probably help us in FY25, 26, and on and on, right, going on further.
I agree with everything you're saying. All I'm just saying, starting fiscal 26 is going to be a big inflection point in terms of the capacity and the revenue.
Yes.
Given all the internal developments you have done.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Vishal. I request you to rejoin the queue.
Margins should be able to be sustained, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhijit Mitra from INS Alpha Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
So just to understand, you know, I think one of the previous participants tried to probe on this. Your current working capital days is 206 or 210 in that range. And when you're talking of a 10x revenue over, say, a 4-year period or 5-year period, that's an incremental revenue of almost 3,500 crores and incremental working capital.
If you're talking about 10x capacity addition, we're not talking about 10x growth in the next 3 years.
Yeah, so essentially the 4,000 crores revenue target is by which year? Sorry, if you can.
So I'd just like to clarify that we are talking about, so currently our business is constrained for capacity. We have limited capacity. And with the contracts and the demand that we're seeing for our customers, we are coming up with a facility which will add 10 times more capacity. Now this 10 times more capacity is obviously going to fill, is going to be made over a staggered period and will be filled over time. We don't mean that it will be filled over the next 4 years or 5 years. Right? Our business will continue to grow at 25-30% this year. And then once we are at an inflection point in FY26, you will see that the growth rate improves from 30% to a higher number, and it will continue at that rate for a few years.
Got it, got it. That's very clear. And secondly, just to understand the nature of this, you know, working capital, as you sort of scale up, you'll have to maintain this nature of working capital intensity, or you can improve on it?
No, so the working capital intensity of the business is a function of what is your qualifications that you're doing. Qualification in a business is where the working capital gets stretched, because you're supposed to stock material, you're supposed to, you know, buy minimum order quantity, whereas, you know, it takes a couple of years to get your product qualified. So basis this, once the product qualification is there and your production ramps up, you know, you will see that progressively the working capital comes down. Ideally, we expect our business's working capital on a blended level to be anywhere between 140 to 150 days of cash to cash. And, you know, our energy business vertical was already at that point. Right now, with some of the stocking programs that we're doing to improve our relationship and business with our customers, it could, you know, look like it has stretched a little, but the ideal business working capital cash to cash conversion cycle should be anywhere between 140 to 150 days overall, which you will eventually see.
Got it. And the last question is the margin guidance which you are giving, 33 to 36%. I mean, what are the risks to that margin guidance? Are there any open ended you know, clause on the commodity or on the currency or anything else that you feel can impede this guidance? Or, you know,
no, so we, if you look at our historical numbers, we've always sustained these margins. See, these margins have been able to sustain because when we sign up with our customers over a longer period contract or a long-term contract, these prices have been fixed, agreed upon. And over time, we are only bringing more operating leverage, which helps us improve our margin further. During the process, when we are taking an order for a customer, our margins are fixed. So we do not take an order where we do not meet our margin criteria. And over time, we only help improve the margin further through our operational excellence and operating leverage in our business. So 33 to 36, 37% the range which I've shared will be sustained for a longer period of time. Yeah.
Got it, got it. That's all from my side. Thanks and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahawala from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good morning. Hope I'm audible.
You have to be a bit louder, please.
Sure. Sir, the capex that we're doing in Hyderabad for 10x of capacity, is the total capex only 120 crores?
No. Let me clarify this. So we are coming up with a 10x capacity, right? 120 crores is the deployment that we are going to be doing in FY25, which will improve our revenues for FY26. The longer, see, these machines that we deploy in our business, these are high-end, you know, specially ordered CNC machines, they have a longer duration for deployment and production, right? So when we order these machines, so we are going to be investing 120 crores in plant and machinery only. I want to be specific. For the infrastructure development, yes, you know, we're going to be deploying about 80 to 100 crores. So 80 to 100 crores will develop the infrastructure, whereas this financial year, 120 crores will be deployed in plant and machinery. And over time, whenever we have to build capacity, it does not make sense for us to deploy 500 crores and, you know, create a capacity, because obviously there has to be a progressive way that this plant and the ecosystem is developed. So right now, the initial start will be 120 crores in the current year, and then next year will be further. And we will continue to do that.
Understood. So in a phase-wise manner, every year about 120 crores will go in plant and machinery, but the investment of 80 to 100 crores will probably also be incurred in this year only for the plant to be ready in 26.
We started deploying that from last year because infrastructure was started. So there will also be deployment in infrastructure this year, but plant and machinery, they will roughly deploy about 120 crores.
And one more point we would like to be clear is this is not just for FY26. It's from FY26. Right, the infra which is getting built is just not for FY26. It's a massive plant which is coming up, right? And we can't build factories one by one. So there are a lot of plants which can, I'm happy to, if you travel to Hyderabad, we can show you all the plants in detail.
And tentatively in FY26, by when do we expect this first phase to be ready?
From FY26, ma'am.
You will be able to see incremental revenue of FY26 coming out of the new facility. So whatever growth, when we do 25 to 30% growth in FY25 and say, let's say that number is X. On X, any incremental revenue that we are targeting for FY26 will come out of the newer facility, which will be our inflection point. And then you will be able to see that the rate of growth for us in our business will be faster. See, our business has a sustained growth of 25-30% because the market is very large and we can continue to grow at this rate for a very, very long period of time with sustained margins and the top of the line clientele and product line. So I think the way to look at business would be, on these lines.
Understood. And just last question, contract that was signed with Rolls-Royce, Givanova, Baker Hughes, etc., will these also start from FY26 from the new capacity?
Yes, ma'am. As you can notice, they are 5 and 7 years, right? So that covers in that period of time.
Yeah, but are they starting in FY25 or are they...
No. A few of them can start from next year also, FY25 also. So there are certain parts which have goes from FY25, some are required from FY26. So it's a very staggered and planned, and these contracts are not signed just today. There is a hard work of last 1 year been negotiating with them, and as we show them capacity, right, this is not just they'll just give you a contract just like that. So we showed them plan, we are raising money, this is our factory coming up, this is the plant which is coming up, and audit happens, they come, they watch, they see, and then only the contracts are signed. We would have taken this contract last year, but we told them we are raising money, so we need all the strong capital to execute all this. So all this has been, it just doesn't come like that, man. These companies are large companies, they see each and every corner and then only sign up with you.
And we have delivery commitments. So whenever a customer signs a contract, they agree on what needs to be delivered at what time. So there is a very, very detailed schedule which has been agreed between our customers and us, and we work towards it on a similar basis for every contract.
Understood. And this capex of 120 crores, 60 crores we raised in IPO, and for the balance, are we going to now again need some debt? Because there's going to be at least 120 crores every year plus infra.
Yeah, we have to take the incremental debt, as right now there is no debt, hardly around 53 crore in the balance sheet. So we have a sufficient room available for this new debt.
Okay. Great. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Chirag from Neo Multifamily Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So if you can give me a breakup of, margins in terms of segment-wise. So let's say currently you are getting revenue contribution from aerospace and defense of around, 20-30%. So how much could that go up to, let's say, next 3 to 4 years or so? And for what impact would it have on your margins?
So we don't look at margins on a vertical level. So if you look at our business, right, this year we've delivered some level of, diversification, or if you have to say 82% of our revenue this year was from energy and 12.9% was from aerospace. And until last year, it was about 87-88% from energy. So we were never looking at margins at a segment level. We always looked at it blended because the way we quote for our parts is also similar in both the verticals. However, going forward, our plan is that once we are able to scale, aerospace and defense to the level of upwards of 75-80 crores, we would start tracking the margins separately for the business as well. Because until then, large part of our focus is towards qualification, which optically might not give you the right indication for margins at a segment level, because qualification is a zero revenue business. You have to invest a lot in terms of manpower, your resources, etc. So until we are able to reach a scale where the business reaches upwards of 70-75 crores, it does not make sense for us to look at margins at a segment level. However, we don't see that number far off. So maybe in a year's time or so, we should be able to track segment level revenues. But again, we will not be able to track this for oil and gas because oil and gas is now very, very small. It is blended with energy. When oil and gas also reaches a point where we start delivering and the quantum of qualification versus revenue is comparable, then we will start doing it separately. But to give you some comfort, our blended margins are always going to be in the range of 33 to 36% despite any change in revenue mix or segment mix whatsoever.
And you currently have a wallet share of roughly 1% in your existing TAM. So what are the opportunities and challenges that you see in terms of in growing your wallet share and how much could it grow to over next few years?
Sure.
Yeah, so I'll take this answer. If you notice when we say the TAM and the wallet share, signing contracts and getting these orders, right, that is evident to show that we are now ready to take up and now the customer believes us and now is where they give up the complete program of allotting that these orders to us for the long term. So this comes step by step. As I mentioned, in 2022, we were sitting at around 23, we were sitting at 2,000 crores. This year, we did 3,000 crores order book. This 1,000 crores come from certain developments which we did this year. And so on, this will keep on continuing. So when we say 10x capacity, then you can imagine what order book we will be sitting after next year or the following year.
Yeah. And just to add to what Mr. Chopra was saying, I think for us, what are the ingredients that you need for an organization to scale up? You look at capital, you look at contract, you look at customers, you look at capability, and then you look at capacity. Today as an organization, we have all the four boxes that we have checked and capacity is coming up. So that is going to lead us to a higher expansion in our wallet share. It is not a function of reduced demand. We have more demand than what we can supply. Even if, we were to set up capacity immediately, it is going to get consumed. You can see how our customers have been growing and how each of these segments or industries are growing. So we work with the top customers in every sector. Every sector is having tremendous growth. Our customers are growing. So for us to grow, we only need to add capacity. And that's why one of our questions that had come up is, once the new capacity comes up, that is going to be an inflection point. Having said that, growing 25-30%, since 21 till today, we've grown at 40%. Hopefully, this growth will continue, when you see the inflection point as well. So that's something that I would say. It's only capacity that needs to be added.
So do you foresee any risk in terms of competition or any other risk in, achieving your goals of increasing wallet share?
Competition, we have competition in China, Europe, Japan, and America. That's our competition. So if we compete, these four regions, four countries, I would say.
And we don't see any risk from that perspective because our revenues for the next few years have been signed up already. Yeah. So we don't have to look for, say, for example, the numbers that we're targeting in FY25, we already have the purchase orders under contract with us. So that is committed. So we don't see a risk from that perspective. See, that's what I was saying. Coming back to this, like in my previous answer, I was saying for us to grow, we need customers, contracts, orders, which is there with us. These products have been qualified. The only thing that is needed to be added is capacity. And for us to add capacity, we needed capital, which we've raised, and now we're deploying that. So we don't see any risk in execution from that perspective.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that will be the last question for the day. I will now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Manuja. I would like to thank everyone for attending the call and fruitful discussion we had today. I can see that there is a long queue still over there, so you can get in touch with the management or SGA for your queries. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Chopra for any closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Amit. Thanks, everyone, for joining this call. And what I believe is as I mentioned before, the plan, what we are planning, 24, 25, 26, 27, we are perfectly on track. And we expect
and as we could prove that FY 2024, we would achieve as per the plan and on track of FY 2025 and on track on FY 2026. So we have all the ingredients. It's just the capacity. We are very eagerly waiting to add the capacity. We have enough orders. We have big demand in the global supply chain. Even now, there are so many customers sitting next door and asking us, "When are you going to add the capacity?" Contracts are orders in place, capital in place. So I think it's a very beautiful journey going ahead. And there is a lot of excitement coming weeks and things, and you will listen what's best is yet to come yet. So that is what I wanted to give a last message. It's really, really a wonderful journey we covered, and there's a long way ahead to cover up.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.